I am getting old. Now, for some of you in the room, you might be young enough to say, you are. You're going gray. You're getting old. And for some of you in the room, you might be saying, you have no idea what old is. And so I understand that, but here are some things I'm learning as the 34-year-old. Number one, it is harder to get up in the morning. I'm learning that. My knees are hurting a little bit more. But more importantly, in January, my wife and I had our first son. If you hear screaming from the nursery, that's probably my son. But he is currently going through sleep regression. And so we are operating on, I don't even know what, living on a prayer is what I've been saying. And so you can be praying for Heather and I. But here is something I've learned in getting older. And maybe you can relate to this. As I get older, I'm learning I'm getting a little bit more grouchy. Yes. And here's what I mean that with that, especially when it comes to culture. I'm noticing that as I'm looking about like what's going on around me, what's going on in kind of like pop culture and TV and movies and music, I'm starting to say things like, particularly with music, what are these lyrics? You know, like I'm listening to kind of like the top 10 hits and I'm saying like, what are these lyrics? Like, these are so ungodly. Like, don't these people know what they're listening to? You know, back in my day, we didn't have things like this. Well, the other day, Heather and I were going through for a nice Saturday drive. You know, the weather was beautiful, and I decided to put on some classics. And so now I'm about to share a band. You can't judge me. We're in church. But I decided to put on Nickelback. Do not judge. So I turned on Nickelback, and we're just going for a casual drive, windows down, hair, you know, going in the wind. And as we're listening, Heather says to me, what are these lyrics? You know, I listened to Nickelback in my adolescence, right, in my early teenage years, and I, you know, this was like great music, and we're listening going, what is going on in this song? Like, I can't believe I listened to this as a child. This is insane. And what we learn in Ecclesiastes is there's nothing new under the sun. So I think the reality is, I guess not much has changed. But here's what I think that happens. When we're children, we tend to engage with things on a very surface level, only later to find out the things that we were listening to or the things that we were watching or the stories that we learned have a different meaning or have a deeper meaning, only later to find out, oh, that's what that meant when we listened to it as an adult, or that's what that was trying to mean, or that's what it was all about. And the same thing is for me when it comes to the story of Noah. You see, growing up, I was a Christian kid. I grew up in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, we used to have these things called felt boards. I don't know, anyone know what a felt board is? Rebecca, I don't even think we use those in Well Kids anymore. Here's the felt board. And so when you were in Sunday school, they would paint, you know, and have characters, and they would tell Bible stories, and you would learn about these things. And they were, again, bright, colorful characters. And for some of us, we might know the story of Noah because of things like that. For some of us, we might know the stories of Noah because maybe we grew up with a cute toy, right? Some of us have these things, you know, the cute little boat, and the fuzz, you know, the animals, and it was very sweet. Some of us might know the story of Noah because of Evan Almighty, right? Classic, cinematic classic. But for me growing up, as a young child, the story of Noah was a story about a nice old man who God told to build a boat. And then Noah went on to fill this boat with all the cute, fuzzy animals, and it was adorable, and it was amazing. And then the rain came and just washed everything away. And at the end of the story, God gave a beautiful rainbow for us to be reminded of this very special story. But that is not the true story of Noah. You see, the story of Noah And the story of Noah and the Ark is an historical account of a man and his family who stood alone in a culture that had radically turned their heart away from God. It's a story about a world that was filled with sexual immorality and evil and violence. And it paints for us a picture of the true consequences of sin, is that the result of sin is always death. But in the true story of Noah, it also shows us a God who deeply loves his people and always provides a way for those who walk in faith. So yes, the story of Noah is about some rain, a boat, and some animals. But really, it's about a man who stood alone for who he stood for. It's about a man who lived a life of obedience, a man who walked by faith, and he experienced grace and hope and salvation from a holy and loving God. That is the true story of Noah. So this morning, we're going to be continuing in our series called Exemplary. And what we've been doing over the last several weeks is we've been looking through Hebrews chapter 11 of the amazing men and women listed in that book that God says that these were people of faith. And this morning, we're going to look at the life of Noah and say, what does God really have to say to us through this man who lived a life of faith? So before we dive in, I want to recap a little for us. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to be up on the screen. You can go to that in your Bible if you have it. And we're going to start in verse 1. So again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now, I'm going to need some help with you. It is morning. I'm on lack of sleep, so I need some engagement. So here we go. Now faith, everyone say faith, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. If you're ever wondering what Bible verses you should memorize, that is a great one. Verse 2, for by it, being faith, the people of old received commendation. By faith, everyone say faith. We understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And now we're going to hop down to verse 7. By faith, everyone say faith. Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Everyone say faith. Do you see the through line here in this passage? Noah was a man who operated by faith. And because of his faith, God provided a way, and by faith, Noah received the righteousness of God. We see in Ephesians 2, it says this, for by grace you have been saved through what church? Faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God's plan has always remained the same. Whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, salvation comes through faith. Noah's faith was sealed with his standing with God. And this is a powerful truth that Noah walked in faith and received salvation. God provided a way for Noah. So now what I want to do, so we have the New Testament account of Noah, I want to go back to the Old Testament. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 6 to unpack the story of Noah and see what God has things and for us to learn through it. So again, Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 9. And it says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. The earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their ways on earth, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth was filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, Make an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you should make it. The length of the ark will be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above. Set the door on the side of the ark inside. Make it with a lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring flood waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish a covenant with you. You shall come into the ark with you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. For every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They should be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds and the animals according to their kinds. For every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in and keep them alive. So also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Verse 22, Noah did this, and he did all that God had commanded him. Now, I want to walk through this text with us this morning, and there's three sections I want us to look at. Number one, we have a man. Number two, we have a problem. And number three, we have a plan. And the first thing we see is we have a man. And verse 9 says, these were the generations of Noah. Noah was righteous. He was blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God. You see, we kick off in verse 9, and it says Moses wrote the book of Genesis, the author, outlines for us Noah's legacy, his character, and his family. You see, at the time of this writing, Noah would have been about 500 years old. I thought I was old. Like, Noah has it on all of us. And we see several things about Noah's character in this passage. First, we see Noah was righteous. What this means is Noah had a right standing with God. He was in right relationship with God. Now, again, this is not righteousness that Noah earned. This was righteousness that Noah received because of his faith. The second thing we see is that Noah was blameless in his generation. So first, Noah had a right standing with God, but secondly, he had a right standing with his people. Blameless also means, if you look at the translation, it also means integrity, which means when Noah would go to town with his family, probably what people would say is, this guy is crazy, but he's honest. Like, I don't like the things that Noah says, but Noah always pays his bills. Like, Noah had integrity. Like, Noah in his community, he had good standing. No one could fault Noah for how he lived and acted because Noah had the character of God in his life. When you think of his testimony, people looked at Noah and said, that guy is different. That guy lives a different way. That guy believes different things, but he's blameless. What I also find really impactful, it says the word generation. Again, if you also look at the translation of that, it means that you live in a circle. Meaning this, Noah reoriented his life around God. When it came to Noah and his family, Noah changed his life, that everything he did, everything he worked for, revolved not around the culture, not around the world, but it revolved around God. The God of heaven. So Noah was righteous, he was blameless, and he revolved his life around God. Now, what this doesn't mean is that Noah lived a sinless life. If you were to go and fast forward a few chapters, we learn that when Noah got off the boat, he planted the first vineyard, he drank a lot of wine, and fell into sin. So Noah isn't perfect, but he's consistently pursuing and walking in faith, and that's what God honors. The next thing we see, and this is, I think, so important, I want to sit in this for a moment. It says, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. I think as Christians, this is something so important that we need to understand. And it's something very unique. You see, in the Old Testament, this was kind of a unique thing. There's only a few men listed in the Old Testament that talk about walking with God. Think of men like Moses, Enoch, Abraham, and Noah. But then we fast forward a little bit and we get to the New Testament. And this is the power of Jesus and the gospel. Is that when you and I place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that when we receive forgiveness of our sins, we are then indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and no matter where we go, we're walking with God. Some of you might need to be reminded of that fact today. Some of you might feel alone. Some of you might feel like, God, are you with me? Do you even see me? Everywhere you go, God is with you through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But I want to talk about a few things with walking with God. What does it look like to walk with God? For those of you in my life who have followed Heather and I's journey, you know that the last few years have been really difficult for us. We've gone through a lot of challenging things. We've experienced miscarriage and hardship and loss of relationship. It's been a lot. And one of the things that Heather and I would do is every night we would go for a walk with each other. And there was something so special about that times. I covet our walks. And I know Scott and Nicole, they're really big on going for walks too. But see, here's what would happen when Heather and I would go for a walk. As you go for a walk, intimacy is made. Right? Because what do you do when you go for a walk? You spend time talking about your day. You spend time listening to someone, hearing what's going on in their life, sharing each other's hurts and burdens, and we're talking about things of the Lord. There was something so special of what it looks like to walk with God or walk with each other, but it's the same thing when it comes to us walking with God. Something is so critical when it comes to you and I and thinking about what does it look like to walk with God. First, it looks like listening. Are we in a place of listening to God? Every day, God is speaking through his word. We might be in here today saying, I feel like God is silent. I feel like I'm not hearing from God. Never say God is silent when your Bible is closed. Are we listening to God? But then, are we talking to God? Are we sharing what's going on in our life? Are we sharing our burdens? Are we sharing our hurts? Are we sharing our struggles? Are we going to God in prayer? Do we have an intimate relationship with God where we're listening for what God has to say in our hearts and then we're talking to God of what's going on in our life? But thirdly, of what's walking with God, and we see that in the life of Noah, is we do what the Lord says. We do what God says. Noah did what God asked him to do. And that's what intimacy is. Think of when Heather and I were going for a walk. If Heather's sharing with me how I can love her better. If Heather's sharing with me, hey, this is what's going on in my heart, and I really would love for you to step into this need. If she all the times asked me to do something and I never did it, if I always ignored her, do you think that would be a real relationship? If I always ignored the things that was going on in Heather's life, do you think that would be intimacy? No. And then it's the same thing with our relationship with God. When God asks us to do something, we need to do it. When it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to walking with God, we need to listen, we need to talk, and we need to act. So when it comes to your relationship with God this morning, are you walking with God? When you think of your own life, when you think of your Christian life, are you walking with God? Are you listening to God through his word and what the Holy Spirit is telling you? Are you going to God in prayer? Are you doing what God is asking you to do? Are you walking with God this morning? Because Noah walked with God. He listened to God, he talked with God, and then he obeyed. The next thing I want us to see this morning is the problem. As we go in these verses, we see there was a problem, and the problem was sin. We go back and we see a world that has fallen into deep sin. We see a world, if you go in other passages, it says this time of in the age was filled with sexual immorality, violence, and evil. The world had been consumed by sin. And if you go just a few verses back, it says that God's heart was grieved about what he saw. Sin had been consuming and judgment had come. And then God tells Noah to build a boat. God found favor in Noah, and God provided a way for him and his family to live life through a life of faith. And then he calls Noah to build a boat because of the problem of sin. One of the things I find so impactful about the story of Noah is Noah was willing to stand alone because of what he stood for. It says that Noah was blameless in his whole generation. Meaning this, when God looked down, the only person he saw that was living a life of faith was Noah. That he was living in a culture, that he was living in a world that would look at Noah's life and say, you're different. You're not doing it the way we're doing it. He probably was criticized and ridiculed and laughed at, but Noah was willing to stand alone. And so when I think about my life, and I think about your life, are we willing to stand alone? When you think about your family situation or your culture or your workplace, I'm sure when you start living out your Christian beliefs, hopefully, that you start getting questions. Why do you believe that? Why do you have that value? Why do you do those things? And there's a question of, are we willing to stand alone? Are we willing to say, I do this because of my faith. I do this because this is what God has called me to do. I do this because I put my faith in the living, true God. Or do we just go with the crowd? I don't know. It's how it grew up. I don't know why I do these things. They're not that important to me. Are we a person of a culture or are we a person of Christ? Noah was willing to stand alone. And we see that there was a problem. Their culture was consumed by sin, but God provided a plan for Noah. And so that's the next thing, that there was a problem, there was a sin problem, but then God provided a plan. And what I love about this in this passage is there is so much detail when it comes to how Noah built the ark. Now, I'm telling you this morning, this sermon would be 4 hours long if I was going to go into the science and biology. We have Maddie here. She would go into the biology about how this happened. But I want to give you some facts, some interesting things when I was diving into the study of the ark. A few things here. The ark was so big, it could fit 1,300 of standard 20-foot shipping containers that you see on cargo ships. 1,300 containers. Based on its size, engineers say the ark could fit 125,000 animals. The ratio of the ark, this I found so interesting, the ratio of the ark being 35:3 was still used for shipbuilding up until the 1900s. The format, the schematics of how that ship was built was still used by shipbuilders until the 1900s. It took over 100 years to build the ark, and at the time the ark went off its journey, Noah was about 600 years old. That's crazy. But what I love about this and what I think it communicates is God provided a detailed plan for Noah to experience life. And when God told Noah to build this boat, he didn't delay. He didn't have delayed obedience. The minute God spoke to Noah, he didn't question God. He didn't say, God, are you sure? You're telling me to build a boat when the closest source of water is 100 miles away. God, this doesn't make sense. Like, are you sure? Are you positive? Noah didn't do any of that. Noah heard the word of God saying, I want you to build a boat. And it says that Noah did what God had commanded. When you look at your own life, when you hear God saying for you to do something, do you obey? A lot of times we hear, yeah, God, I know what you're asking me to do, but it's hard. God, I know you're asking me to do something, but I don't think I can. I don't think I have it in me. God, I don't. Or do you act like Noah and say, God, yes. I don't have all the details. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish this, but God, I'm just going to trust you that you're going to give me what I need, and I'm going to walk in obedience to the thing that you called me to. God provided Noah a plan, and Noah walked by faith and walked into that plan, and God provided a way for him to survive that flood. I love this because God provided a way for Noah, and God provides a way for you and me today. And this is what I think when I was studying this text, what I feel like the Lord was saying is that God provides a way through a step of faith. God provides a way through a step of faith. Noah lived a life of faith. That's what defined Noah. He lived a life of faith. Noah walked with God. Noah took a step of faith, and then he took another step, and he took another step, and he took another step. And out of every act of obedience, Noah's life was continued to define by faith. And then through that, he experienced the righteousness of God, and God provided a way for Noah to experience life for him and his family. And as I was studying and I was praying through this scripture, the thing that kept resonating in my heart is, yes, we're looking at the life of Noah in this text, but the life of Noah paints for you and I the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the story of Noah, we see the problem of sin. But God provided salvation through a decision of faith that Noah had. And the same thing is said for you and me this morning. You see, for Noah, God provided the door of the ark as a way for Noah to experience life. And for you and I this morning, God provides the door of Jesus Christ for you and I to experience eternal life through Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, will be saved. And this is something I found so interesting. My mind was literally blown when I was studying. It says in the construction of the ark that God told Noah to use something called gopher wood. Historians believe that this was cypress wood, which is the wood that was in the region, but it was a very unique kind of wood. You see, in ancient times, that wood was used to construct coffins. So God called Noah to build a boat out of the wood that coffins were created out of. And then we see that God told Noah to surround that boat in something called pitch. Well, if you look at the translation of the word pitch, that word also means atonement. So God called Noah to build a boat out of wood, the same wood that coffins are created out of, and then told Noah to surround that boat with something called atonement. And that when the floodwaters come and things were going to be destroyed, that boat would be protected by atonement. And the same thing happens when we think about the gospel of Jesus. Today, we just celebrated communion. Why do we celebrate communion? Why do we talk about the blood of Christ? We celebrate the blood of Christ because it covers our sins and provides us atonement. That when death comes, we are covered by the blood of Christ and we can experience life. Not just life in this life, but life in the next. So yes, the story of Noah is about a boat, and yes, it's a story about some rain, and yes, it's a story about some animals, but the story of Noah points to Jesus. This whole book from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus. anytime someone gets baptized, we read this verse from Romans. We were buried, therefore, by him with baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. God provides a way for you and I through a step of faith. So this morning, have you taken that step of faith? Have you come to a place this morning of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Growing up, there's a place in Lancaster called Sight and Sound. And they do these amazing, like, kind of Broadway-style productions of different Bible stories. And they do a story of Noah. I think there's a picture of that. And I remember going to see this production as a kid. And it was so impactful. They have live animals, and you get to see the whole thing. But then there's the scene that the rain starts coming. And you hear drop, drop, drop. And what you start realizing is the rain isn't going to stop. And you see Noah start going on to the ark and taking his family. And then you see the door close and the Lord seals the door. And you see a group of people waiting outside the ark who missed the boat. And I was talking about this with my mom this week, and she tells me that when I was a little kid and I saw this production, I turned to her in that moment and I said, is that what heaven's going to be? That there will come a time when God closes the door. And for those that took a step of faith and are inside will experience life, and those who were outside the door will come to realize that they missed the boat. Church, my desire for every single person in this room is for you to experience the life that Jesus Christ offers. But there will come a time when the door closes. And so today, there is no better time if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you take a step? That's all it takes. We live a life of faith. Faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. This morning, will you take a step of faith? The other thing I want to challenge you with is this. God called Noah to build a boat. And so when you look at your life, what has God called you to do? What's your boat? My guess is that someone in the room this morning was told to do something by God. God is calling you to walk away from that addiction, or God is calling you to walk into that relationship and seek restoration. God is calling you to do something. God is calling you to start that ministry. God is calling you to walk forward in faith. What has God called you to do? And if God has called you to do something, he will give you everything you need. Not humanly speaking. There are so many things in my life that I am incapable of. But out of obedience to God, we walk in faith. So what is your boat? What is God calling you to do this morning? And do you have the boldness and courage to be a man like Noah who operated by faith and walked forward in what God had for him? God provides a way for those who take a step of faith. Step in faith this morning. Let's pray.